Amen. Our scripture lesson today is 1 John in his letters. 1 John chapter 4 in the back, starting in the 7th verse. I find it kind of an interesting journey we're taking right now. Last Sunday we were back there, and today when we read the call to worship, that was also taken from 1 John, parts of it were. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whosoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not yet made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Say amen. That's a good one right there, wasn't it? Let us join our hearts together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for drawing us together here in this moment. We thank you for the words that will come spilling forth through me from you. Father, let them make sense, not just be endless ramblings that would fill our hearts up and make us desirable to know you more and to go from here with the word fresh on our minds and talk to those around us and seek in earnest those in need. Father, we thank you. We ask that these words fill us up. In Jesus' name, and all of his children said, amen. Amen. I often wonder if I make a difference. Me, Paul Leatherman. I often wonder if I make a difference. In 1912, medical missionary Dr. William Leslie went to live and minister to a tribal people in the remote corner of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, the Congo is in Africa. Good job. That's a way far away. And he gave up everything he had at a point in time. We're talking 1912, not 2017, when you can hop on a big jet. By the way, in case you're wondering, yes, this week my heart was broken as I watched the last flight of the 747, and I never got to fly on it. But he couldn't just hop on an airplane and decide, I'm going to go minister to people that need to know the word, and just take off. It was a journey of epic proportions. And so in 1912, he went there and spent 17 years of his life bringing Jesus Christ and the word of salvation to the people of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And he came back to the United States, a discouraged and beaten man, believing he had failed to make an impact for Christ. And upon his return 17 years later, 9 years after that, he passed away, going to the grave, wondering if he had done that one thing. Born in Ontario, Canada, William H. Leslie followed his intended profession as a pharmacist until his conversion. Now let me stop you right here. Recently, at a discussion at work, we were discussing what pay grades were, and I always figured that a pharmacist did not make hardly any money. Well, I'm not the smartest person. Don't raise your eyebrows at me like that. I figured all they did was back there and count out pills and look at stuff. I figured they probably made, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year. And I got soundly educated on that. That is a high-paying profession. You have to go get a doctorate. You're not necessarily a doctor, but you have to go to a lot of college, and you have to know a lot of stuff. So if you're a pharmacist, you're making money. And you're living well, which would explain why we have to wait for an hour to get our aspirin filled. And they giggle as they walk out the back door and get in their Rolls Royce and drive away. But he was a pharmacist until his conversion. In 1888, he found the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He moved to the Chicago area, and while there, following his profession in Chicago, the Lord began to grip his heart. And he had an overwhelming desire to become a medical missionary. Dr. Leslie initiated his Congo service in 1893 at Banza Matanki. And 2 years later, he developed a very bad illness. A young missionary named Clara Hill took care of him until he recovered. Their budding friendship ripened into love and a marriage proposal, and they were married in 1896. In 1905, William and Clara pioneered a work in Cuyo, Angola, where they overcame a hurricane that struck the night before one of their children was born, and more mundane obstacles, and I say that with my tongue in cheek, mundane obstacles, like being charged constantly by buffalo and having their little campsite overrun time and time again by marauding ants. Now, let me just stop you right there. That would get to me. I don't mind too many things, but ants? Ugh. 7 years later, now listen to what I'm going to tell you. 7 years later, they cleared enough of the leopard-infested jungle along the Kwili River at Vanga for a new mission station perched on a very small plateau. Some of the villages surrounding Vanga were still practicing cannibalism at that time. Now stop right there. He went into the jungle for that one thing. He went in there amongst leopards, charging buffaloes, and getting sick, and people that ate people, and ants, to bring the word of the Lord. The one thing he wanted to do was make a difference. And so he goes in there, and they raise a family. They spent 17 years at Vanga, but their service ended on a rocky note. Dr. Leslie had a relational falling out with some of the tribal leaders and was asked not to come back. They reconciled and there were apologies and forgiveness, but it did not end like Dr. Leslie had hoped for that one thing. One thing. His goal was to spread Christianity. He felt like he was there for 17 years and he never really made the big impact that he wanted to do. That would break my heart to end. But in 2010, some 84 years later, a team led by Eric Ramsey with Tom Cox World Ministries made an unbelievable, shocking, and sensational discovery. Going back to his original work, untouched, For 84 years, they found a network of reproducing churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Queeley River from Vanga, where Dr. Leslie was stationed. With the help of Mission Aviation Fellowship pilot, Ramsey and his team flew. Now listen to what they had to do to get there. Now. They flew east from Kashana to Vanga, a 2.5 hour flight in a Cessna Caravan. After they reached Vanga, they hiked a mile to the Queeley River, used dugout canoes to cross the half-mile river. They hiked with backpacks another 10 miles into the jungle before they reached the very first village of the Yancey people. That's a trip. That's an epic journey. Based on previous research, Ramsey thought that the Yancey in this remote area might have some exposure to Jesus, but no real understanding of who he was. They were unprepared for what they were about to find. When we got in there, we found a network of reproducing churches throughout the jungle, Ramsey reports. Each village, now listen, each village had its own gospel choir. Although they didn't call it that, he notes, they wrote their own songs and would have sing-offs from village to village, producing and clarifying and glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. I need to see that. By video, please. They found a church in each of the 8 villages they visited, scattered across 34 miles. Ramsey and his team even found a 1,000-seat stone cathedral in one of the villages. He learned that that church got so crowded in the 1980s, with many walking miles to attend, that a church planting movement began in the surrounding villages. There's no Bible in the Yancey language. He says they used a French Bible, so those who taught had to be fluent in French. Apparently, Dr. Leslie crossed the Queeley River once a year from Vanga and spent a month traveling through the jungle being carried by servants in a sedan chair. He would teach the Bible, taught tribal children how to read and write, talked about the importance of education and Bible stories, Ramsey notes. Dr. Leslie started the first educational system in these villages. It took some digging to uncover Leslie's identity. The tribal people only knew him by one name, and I didn't know if it was a first name or a last name. They knew he was a Baptist and was based in that one city, and they knew the years he was there, even 84 years later. When Ramsey returned home, he did some additional investigation and discovered that Dr. Leslie was affiliated with the American Baptist Missionary Union. This was founded in 1814, who had done pioneering work in Burma. But what Ramsey discovered was that one thing. This man had left thinking he had failed in that one thing. And yet what happens? An untouched, hey, they decide, we've heard about something that might possibly need our attention in the Congo. Let's fly over there and see if we can straighten them out. Straighten them out. And they get there, and one man spread God's word, to the point where it became a church. I don't know if you all have ever seen the movie City Slickers. If you haven't, you're missing out. You should see that movie. In that movie, there is an old grizzled cowboy, and his name is Curly. And he is about as mean as the day is long. And Billy Crystal plays a character in there who's trying to recapture his youth and become a Western kid. And Curly walks around and tells him, in order to find happiness, you have to find that one thing. And Curly won't tell him what it is. And by the end of the movie, he had figured out what that one thing was. The one thing that Dr. Leslie wanted was to be successful in spreading the word of Jesus Christ, and left not realizing what he had done. In the New International Version Bible, that's what's in your pews, that's what I read from, there is a word that appears some 515 times from cover to cover. In the King James Version, that same word appears over 300 times. In that, I believe the Word of God is trying to make sure that we all know the one thing. And that one thing is?
Love.
Love. Now let me stop here. Because when somebody starts talking about love, everybody starts getting these visions of wishy-washiness and, oh, that preacher's going to talk about love again and he's going to get all sappy and sentimental and drippy. Yep. That's what's going to happen here today. I have been working you guys for the past month, 2 months, I don't know. I guess you're going to have to put up with it like you've done every other Sunday, right, Marvin? I have to stop here for a moment. Marvin made me laugh yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast, or men's Bible study. And we did have prayer and we did have breakfast, so those of you who didn't come, you missed out. And so we were talking about the visit from Gene Hagenberger a couple Sundays ago, and Gene, I guess, and Marvin were talking about the sermon and everything, and they were walking downstairs, and Marvin goes, yeah, we got to put up with that every Sunday. But I do bring this word to you from Gene Hagenberger, in case you didn't hear this. He said, and I quote, "That was the warmest, most hospitable welcome he's ever had in a church, ever." Other than, of course, his home church. He said, "I could not believe the power of the Spirit up in that little corner of the world." He said, "I don't know what's going on up there, but keep doing what you're doing, just the way you're doing it." He said, "I look forward for the time when we get a chance to come back and bring his wife." He was very touched and he was very lifted by that one thing. Love, why can't you all play along with me? You'd think by now, after all these years, you'd know where I'm going. That one thing.
Love.
You don't have to yell. Yes, love. That's a tough thing for a man to say. My father rarely says it. Oh, he'll say, "Man, I sure love that ham." Or, "I love the way them mashed potatoes came out."
"I love that tractor."
Or, "I love the way that tractor sounds." It wasn't until recently, my dad, out of the clear blue sky, I guess because he was sick, he said, "Hey, love you." "What?" He said, "You heard me." Okay. We need to be able to say that. Not just, it does not mean the love that is, "Oh, honey, come here." You know, the kissy, kissy, face, face love. You know, the kind of love where the boy comes home one night and he tells his daddy, he says, "Daddy, I think I'm in love and I'm going to marry that girl." And the father says, "Well, how do you know?" He says, "Well, I was kissing her goodnight and her dog bit me on the leg. And I didn't even feel it till I got home." The love that we talk about is that one thing. Let me read you these words. And when we practice love, last week we were talking about forgiveness. That is the road to full love. That is the road to what John is writing in his words there. And when he is saying, love and be in love with your brother, with your sister. I'm going to read you these words. "To be quite honest, I'm more angry with the systems around than I am with him, the shooter. I have a feeling maybe there's systems around his life that allowed him to get where he was. He was used by a dark power to accomplish something that was beyond him. We need to stay strong and try to reach out to those others that may be in the same position before they are used by the dark power and can be used by God. He was used by a dark power to accomplish something that was beyond him. I forgive him." Those are the words of Pastor Pomeroy, Sutherland Springs, Texas, when being questioned about his reaction to the loss of his 14-year-old daughter and 25 other people last Sunday. "I forgive him." Last Sunday, we talk about forgiveness. And today, we sit here, and maybe we don't think about the fact that we are here. I think about you all every Sunday. And I don't think about you all because I want you to feed me or bring me some cake or a muffin or a box of crackers. I think about you all constantly. This has been a week of torture for me. Last Sunday at 11:30, 12:30 our time, the assistant pastor was stepping into this area to begin to bring a message of love and was killed. And we become irate at that, and we want to lash out and we want to reach out and be full of hate and ugliness towards someone we don't know anything about. We don't know what world he was caught up in. And for me, when I think about the fact that I could be standing right here and see the same thing, you guys are everything to me. Because I was given a charge so many years ago, go up there and get to work. And that's exactly how it was put to me. Go up there and get to work. And make sure that you go up there and you preach the word. Don't go up there and preach your own feelings. Don't go up there and preach what the world says. Preach the word. Well, the word is love. The one thing is
love.
My heart is so broken for what took place this past Sunday. Because it hits home. And yet, their world changed in a matter of 10 minutes. A pastor and his wife away, their 14-year-old daughter, as he so eloquently put it, breathed her last bit of dirty air here and is now breathing the sweetness of heaven. What? This is a man who preaches love. This is a man who I am sure in the days to come, I am not blinded by the reality of things. I understand that there is a whole world and numbness that has to be overcome. But in the middle of all this, he steps up in front of everybody and preaches love. Today, I'm curious what the sermon will be about. I'm sure it will be about love. And wouldn't we do better to be in love with our brothers and sisters? Yesterday we read from James chapter 4 where it talked about quarreling among us. When we quarrel amongst ourselves, it's for our own desire. It's not for the love that God gave us. We go back to the scripture for a moment. Right off the bat in the 7th verse, John writing, "Friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Love. He goes on to describe, how did he show love among us? He showed us love by sending his Son down from glory. The song, Victory in Jesus, it starts off how a Savior came from glory. How he stepped down out of the thrones of heaven. Not because we loved God, because he loved us. And he wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to know him. Paul, writing a little further on, he says, "Dear friends," in verse 11, "since God so loved us, then we ought also love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." I love that verse. Because that is how we show the world who we are. And they can tell we are Christians by our
love.
Love that song. We sing that song every now and then, don't we? We can. Do we have it? I love that song. And they will know we are Christians by our love. Not because we can do a bunch of crazy things in the church and have fundraisers and ham oyster and turkey dinners and all this, that, and the other. They will know that they can walk into this room and know that we are Christians by our love. Gene Hagenberger came in 2 weeks ago not knowing anyone in this room except for me and Linda. And he only met Linda once. And he walked out of here blessed. And you all didn't do anything different than you've ever done. You live by the word, by the one thing.
Love.
Verse 18 is one you underline. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in it. When you love, you can go forth for any reason. You're not afraid of the punishment. And yet we come back to Dr. Leslie. He had no clue what he was doing. He had none. He was searching for that one thing, and the whole time he's been giving it out. And one day, and it probably already happened, as he waits, he's going to meet with those he gave the one thing to, love. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt, and if you've ever done any of his readings, it's powerful stuff, said his family was forced to flee from their home, and one night they stayed in a small village, homeless and afraid and alone, and his wife broke down crying in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provisions and keeping the one thing, love. Then going out into the garden alone, he fell down against the garden wall and wept until his body heaved with the sobs. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. And soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lift and sensed the Lord's presence brand new. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has been a comfort to many. If you've ever heard Tennessee Williams sing it, it says, "Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so that the night shall be in joyous day." It's often in our darkest hours that he makes his presence clearly known. You know, I have these lessons, and I preach them up here, and I walk out that door when the smoke clears on a Sunday morning. And I've said it once, I don't really know what ramblings came out of this mouth. And if they are confusing, well, I'm sorry. I'm a nut. And I wonder to myself sometimes, did I make a dent? Did I make a difference? Did I strike anything? A chord, a note, a bell? Because you see, and I've said it, and I mean it, I don't preach these sermons just for you. I preach them because that's what's on my heart. That's where I am laid out at the moment. That's where I have seen something this week that has pointed out my own shortcomings. Did I get it right? Was my passion, my forcefulness, was it understood that when I get wound up in here, sweating and wiping and waving around like a madman, it's only because I only have this much space to get this much out? Because I know what you know, but I have to remind you, like you have to remind me, that God is above us. And that the truth of the one thing is that it is
love.
Y'all are slipping a little bit.
Love.
And I'm not asking you after church to come to me because I figured out something. I don't need you to come to me after church and hug me and say, "Oh, Paul, you're getting through." Wonderful. Use the work then. Do what I've taught you if I'm getting through, and go out and do it. And yet, that, you know, that's not what I'm here to do, is to worry about that. I am told by these verses, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will come to cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me, for the most part. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 19. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is the one thing.
Love.
That's what I'm here to do. There it is. That's that one thing. To make it clear, to make it crystal clear, this is where it starts. You ready?
I love you. I love you, man. I love you.
Love you back.
I love you, Dan. Because you have to understand that the love I share for you is that I want you to know the strength and power that is Jesus Christ, that is God Almighty. And that with you knowing that love, with you understanding what that means, you too can turn to the people around you and be God is love. You can be the one thing.
Love.
That's all I ask. That's all I ask. That's all he asks. A certain medieval monk announced that he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. As the shadows fell and the light ceased to come through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered, and in the darkness of the altar, the monk lit a candle and carried it to the crucifix. First, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, two wounded hands, then the marks of the spear wound, and in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and left the chancel. There was nothing else to say. The one thing, love. All else drops away. Hope, faith, knowledge, prophecy, all that's gone in an instant. If I leave here tomorrow, I leave here with one thing, love. The love of my Savior, the love He has for me, the love of the people around me, and the love for you, my family. That's love. And that's the love that we should put forth. Francis Xavier wrote a poem translated by Edward Caswell. He wrote it sometime in the 1500s. It says, "My God, I love thee not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love thee not are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace. For me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless, and sweat of agony. Yea, death itself, and all for me, who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor escaping hell, not from the hope of gaining aught, nor seeking a reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord, so would I love thee, dearest Lord, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my most loving King." The one thing is
love.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are bound together. And as we bow forward for the moment, let us remember our brothers and sisters that have perished for the sake of the cross, whether they asked to or were in that situation or not. Thousands and thousands have gone. And yet our thoughts and our prayers today go to a little church in a town of 600 plus in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we pray, Father, that we can glean and learn from them the one thing, love, that is so real. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, because through him we have been taught God is love, and that we must love one another. In Jesus' name, lift us up now in this time. Amen.
Amen.
As we come before the Lord, as we come to the last song, the prayer bench is open. I'm here if you need me, and I love you. God bless you.